Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi on Kaya 959.
It's my house!
It's my house on Kaya Biz.
Indeed, it is my house and I live here, as Diana Ross, I guess, in the Supremes would say. But this time around, we're really focusing on the cost of maintaining a home. Purchasing it is one thing, but once you're living in it and there's bad weather conditions, some wear and tear here and there, maybe even areas perhaps that you didn't pay attention to as the property was developed, or the previous owners might not have taken too good care of your home. This is where you need to be mindful of understanding the cost implications of maintaining a home. Not only does it impact your pocket, it also impacts your mindset and, of course, the livelihoods of those who you live with. So we want to hear from you. Have you had any nightmares, frustrations, questions or concerns about the cost of maintaining your property? Dial in on 086-000-959. But to help us with this conversation, first things first, we start with a familiar voice and friend of this particular show, CEO of Finlight, or Property Revolution podcast host as well, Andile Fulane. But Andile, always good to speak to you. Welcome.
Hey, Suswan, I'm glad that you hit the call to call me at least once a week. Nyabonga, man. Yeah, this year is going to end well, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you really with the insights that you share. We're just trying to make the circle bigger, yeah. So I think valeling a pint is manisfaga banyabantu nje from time to time. Indeed. Indeed. But Andile, it's a very interesting conversation that we have. And I think maybe let's start there, right? By reflecting on property really for a lot of South Africans being a big purchase and an emotional one too, right? Because gugwa mila, kalisicathulo samila, and that actually speaks to the kind of mindset one needs to have when it comes to not only purchasing a property, but also understanding what it takes to maintain it.
Very true. So yeah, no, I think, I mean, it's one of those things that we really take for granted when we make the purchase. And I mean, me being, being in the financial wellness space, you know, as long as I have been in the property investment space, I understand the issue of affordability quite well. I've seen a lot of consumers that are distressed, struggling to make ends meet, so in the maintenance, that's why a lot of properties that are actually being auctioned or being repossessed, you'll find that they've been neglected for a very long time. Because to begin with, the person cannot even afford to actually pay the installment of the bond. Do you get me?
Yes.
So that becomes a serious steep that they cannot go anywhere. They end up taking loans, you know, because they cannot even sell their house. Some houses are like in very, very bad condition. So it's quite, one little thing that we need to take note of.
Definitely. It is something that we need to take note of. And as you say, it's not just the bond payment, but there's a long list of other expenses. Let's start with utilities and I guess understanding the range, average prices, and also how these particular prices actually increase sometimes above inflation and how we need to budget for them.
Yeah, I know. The challenge is been in the municipality rates and taxes and electricity actually going very high. Now and then NERSA will actually approve the increase of Eskom's increases. That they are requesting from consumers. So it becomes very difficult for a normal consumer to actually maintain. And like I said, when we are actually buying a house, and including our creditors, they don't look at additional expenses of maintaining a property or a house for the long term. They just look at you being able to afford the 30% gross as part of your affordability. But those additional expenses can be quite very high. I mean, I'm not talking about repairs yet.
Yes.
That can go exorbitantly high. So, for instance, they say you must budget about 1% of the value of your property to actually look at repairs.
1%?
So if you have... Yeah, definitely.
That sounds like it's too small.
Is it too small? No, it's not. It's really not. It really depends on the kind of how big the property is. Because if you live in a bigger house that's worth a couple of millions, maybe or a million, then 1% is not such a small amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an average. Because there could be other additional expenses depending on where do you actually live. People in sectional title properties have that privilege that, you know, staff that is outside is taken care of already, but internally then they have to take care of a lot of staff from their own pocket. And those are things that we normally don't save up for, you know, in terms of an emergency fund or something like that. So that becomes quite deep.
That's quite a solid game plan, Butandile, and I'm glad that you're actually empowering us and our listeners to fully understand this. So you purchase a property, whatever that particular amount is, whether it's 750,000 or even a million or even 400,000, budget 1% of the property value to actually make sure that you're able to pay for some of these fees and costs that might be incurred. And that needs to be worked out into your monthly budget in order to manage that maintenance. Are there other costs that we might have left out? I touched on electricity, utility, rates, taxes and levies. And maybe if you can also share with us how some of those fees and how they calculated differ from a freestanding property to a sectional title unit, as you mentioned.
Yeah, so in the sectional title unit, it's inclusive in the levies that you actually pay. You know, most of us who live in sectional titles is that, like, you know, I could actually be taking this 1,500 and paying it over to my bond to reduce the bond. But we neglect the fact that, you know, if you live in a standalone house, there's a whole lot more issues that you actually need to look at. You're not talking about security. If you live in a standalone house, you need to have security. Probably, you know, some of the popular, I nearly mentioned one, but your normal security, neighborhood watch, sometimes in a stop fairly, in a boom gate, you know, they take out about 150 to pay for a private security guard. There's issues of, you know, maintaining a pool, you know,
yes.
Costs about 1,500. If you maintain it about 2 weeks, each and every 2 weeks. There's the cost of fetching. If you have a fetch, you know, the more glamorous, the beautiful the house is, the more it costs. And let's talk about the cleaning. I think we take it lightly. Someone who takes care of your cleaning, the gardening service, you know, we want, all of us need that, you know, leisure of things sitting outside and, you know, having someone to take care of our garden. How much does that cost? You know, there's labor relations now, so you cannot just give someone, you know, any amount. If it's a helper inside or it's someone who helps you with the garden outside, unless it's a contractor, you need to be paying them almost a minimum wage, depending on how frequent they actually come to work.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we actually need to take into consideration. I should mention that if it's a residential house, yes, you bear the cost, you feel them in your pocket. But if you're doing this as a property, I'll always go back there, because that's the perception that we actually need to shape. That if you are buying a property, you need to think as an investor, even if you're buying for your own leisure or for your own residential purposes with your family. You need to think of it in that way, because you're not going to stay in that house forever unless we use it as a family houses. you know what I mean? But you don't want to overspend on a house that you will struggle recuperating the costs that you spent over the years. When you are supposed to move to another property, you have to raise a loan, and there's additional expenses, legal costs and whatever, but you spent so much on this previous property, you know, and what did you actually get in return? So that's how we should have perception.
And but actually that helps us in terms of understanding the maths, right? Just because you qualify for a home that's under a million or 750, if I can use that figure as a consistent example, doesn't necessarily mean that if you charge someone between, you know, let's say 10,000 rand a month to pay rental, that's all that you need to take into consideration in terms of the rental money, then paying off the bond. There's other aspects that you need to be aware of. I'm glad you raised that, because as you say, these are the calculations we need to make sure that we add.
No, definitely. So there's something that we call the financial feasibility study when you are investing in a property. We had to do it when we're investing, when we are buying a house for ourselves, because, you know, we don't think about it. We just buy with our own heart. I mean, when you started, you said it's an emotional, it's one of the biggest emotional purchases that we make. And it costs us yearly, you know. I mean, a friend of mine likes saying buying a house is like getting into a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, getting in is easy, it's sweet, it's emotional, but getting out is very difficult. So getting out of a bad property deal is extremely difficult. It's not liquid. It takes a lot of time. It will cost you, because even selling a house costs money. Not only in time, you have to pay the estate agent. You have to pay legal costs of transferring the property back into someone else's hands. So those costs are things that we don't consider. We don't think about them at all. And I mean, over time, because of this cost, over time, we're becoming less wealthy. And I think we don't, because an individual has an average lifespan wealth. you know. Mm. I think people don't think about that. And all these losses that you accumulate, it could be 10,000 this year, 200,000 and the other time, they accumulate to wealth that you are going to leave as a legacy for your children. Thanks. So when you leave, you also don't want to leave a burden of a legacy. Because if there is this huge house in Ruyefeni, but the people that you're leaving it behind with cannot maintain it.
Exactly.
You know, they'll have to downgrade or sell or whatever the case. That's when the conflict actually starts. So those are pertinent issues that we need to consider.
Definitely not what we need. The last thing you want is your children or grandchildren to say, "Eish, mama no baba bas tidy leganje ngaling." And that's sometimes a reality for many families, honestly speaking. But if you've just joined us, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and we are discussing all things property, residential property to be specific, under It's My House feature here with Uput Andile Fulane, who's the CEO of Finlight, as well as the Property Revolution podcast host, helping us unpack the conversation around the costs of maintaining a home or residential property, whether it's the home that you live in, whether it's a residential property that you've purchased as an investment. There are some key calculations and elements you need to take into consideration when putting together your financial feasibility study. Uput Andile mentioned it's not just about the final bond payment that you make to the bank. It's about understanding the maintenance costs through the utility fees, rates and taxes and levies, monthly home loan installments, the interest and how it will affect you, and of course even the cleaning activities that will take place within your property that you need to make sure you budget for. But Andile, something else that I think we've also focused on, we really touched on, I guess, the experiences of people in suburban South Africa, right? The sectional title units, the freestanding homes within communities where there's boom gates. But what about the gas, where someone decides to buy an investment property there? Maybe there's a legacy issue with the rates and taxes and the Joburg bill, but no one's really keen to manage it at the moment. So, how do we manage that, especially when it comes to our investments?
Yeah, no. So if you are buying an existing property, those things need to be taken care of before you even move into the property. All those rates and taxes, all those things need to be cleared before you actually take occupation. Unless you know, there's those, like, when the family actually leaves and says, "You know, this property is just a too much burden on us as siblings. We will leave it in your hands." You know what I mean? And you start celebrating without looking in, under the hood, which is keep on. And then that's when you actually discover such things that, you know, this property, because I've lived in Soweto, so I think I'm free to tease about what is Soweto. I was only paying $500. I'm not going to be electricity covered. You know, so those bills, you know, there's other issues where then the municipality has come and said, "Okay, no, this is a child-led home, this is whatever." Those are different conversations that we can have. But in a traditional sense, on an average a house, if you had to take over that property, those are the kind of things that you really need to consider. Obviously, the other consideration, abandonment you actually have, especially if you are not from that neighborhood, it's security. Mm. If you are not from that neighborhood, security becomes a huge, huge factor, because in the Bazama break-ins, the policing, there's overpopulation, so it's easy for people to actually get away with stuff. And they know, that it will take time for investigation to actually happen. Unfortunately, those are the issues of service delivery that we are faced with in townships. So when you living in an environment, for instance, if you live in a Ndaweni which doesn't have tarred roads and all those things, so cleaning becomes a big issue, like, because it does, you know, around August and stuff. So cleaning becomes an issue, especially if you have a tenant whereby you have to take care of their yards. They take care of the internal rooms that they actually have there. Then you need to make sure that you consistently maintain those kind of properties. So those are the things. And sometimes, the rubbish bins, depending on where you are in the car, you know, those bins are collected on a daily basis. You have to make a plan.
Exactly. But Andile, that's a very valid point. And I'm also keen that you are helping us differentiate when it comes to some of these particular maintenance costs. What is the responsibility of the landlord versus the tenant? Ngobagwesing is kati, like you say, the lines can be very blurry, where some aboma stand might say, "Guti, no, le aksi responsibility am. This is actually needs to come from your cost," versus the tenant actually saying, "Hold on, mina ngikhashile la. All I'm going to pay is actually the rental money. how do we need to differentiate between those and making sure we put pen to paper that these agreements are as a contract?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, sometimes an agreement is as good as just an email sent to say these are like the house rules or the yard rules or the master rules, whatever they call it, to know that, you know, my responsibility goes up to this far and, you know, the landlord's responsibility goes up to this far. Unfortunately, guys, when you're talking about the Kasi market, it's very informal. Like people, they don't have any lease contracts, for instance, like a month, and people stay like for a very long time. Mm. So you'll enjoy loyalty in terms of like people staying for a very long time. But when there's trouble, like there's very little that you can actually do. So if you are investing in, because you really need to make sure that you have, you know, contracts in place that you sign with people. People are not used to, sometimes they will be hostile to you.
Yep.
But that's definitely something that you need to consider because, I mean, believe me, the student accommodation, for instance, is booming Ekasi now because of these campuses that are, you know, opening shop Ekasi. And students, you know, they mess up the place, you know. On weekends, back room, umnandi, and they mess up the place and they don't take care of the place. You don't, from your own cost. Otherwise, it will just be an argument. And you'll end up losing good tenants because you didn't put proper rules in place.
Mm.
So when you have proper rules in place, everyone understands their role. And they cannot even take you to small claims court with Zamukba Evita. And, you know, you cannot evict them without finding. It's a long process trying to evict someone. So you need to make sure that as part of their contract, you have these things in place to protect you. As far as cost and maintenance is concerned, and to actually make sure that you maintain a good relationship with your tenant.
Definitely. Ngathi wena boyilama students nawe abamoshayo eh but andile. You know a lot of the inside story, but I think a very adequate reflection of the different dynamics that we're dealing with because the property space in South Africa is not homogenous. Depending on where you are, there's a different experience, different expectations, but as Andile has mentioned, to make sure that you protect yourself either as a tenant or landlord, make sure that there's a fixed agreement in place and that everybody's fully clear and aware of the responsibilities they have. But Andile, as we wrap up this conversation, we've spoken a lot about the costs that are incurred when it comes to maintaining a home, whether for primary residence or even for investment. And I'm keen to get your thoughts and maybe some examples that you can share about some of the financial tools that might be available. With Singiskati, we don't use the right savings products or we don't think or consider particular savings products that we need to be mindful of. But help us unpack and understand what tools, products, and services we can use just to make this ride so much more easier for us.
Yeah, and also, I mean, there's, you know, household insurance. At Tina, like, and I'll always dash Tina, because we're not big on insurance, you know, as, you know, black community. We're not big on insurance. But I don't think they believe in insurance. But it has its own place. You know, I was checking, for instance, if you have a geyser, which most households in urban areas have a geyser, it will cost you an average of about 7,500, you know, to replace an average geyser. So those are costs that you either have what we call an emergency fund, which is money that you just put aside. You know, when you spoke about 1% of maintenance, that would be money that you're just putting aside. But you have that temptation that you can access, easily access it. And then obviously there's the household insurance and you can actually include in the bazekiza. If you live in a complex, like a sectional title, those things will be part of your levy. They will already be covered there. But if you live in a standalone house, then you need to make sure that you actually have those things covered. I mean, I was looking at the thatch roof, right?
Yeah.
The cost of a thatch is about, to maintain a thatch annually, is about 500 rand per square meter. So 500 rand per square meter on an average of 80 square meter house, you're spending about 40 grand. You know, to maintain just the patch, you know. So those are the things. I mean, I from the discipline perspective, I've got an emergency fund. And I think it came from a lot of years of discipline and being in investment property space and realizing that, you know what, I cannot be fully covered. There's certain things I can cover, but there's issues of like random plumbing and whatever. So I put money aside, like as an emergency fund for my investment property, but also for my, I spent about 2 grand, like this weekend, fixing caps. And I'm not a very handy guy, so, you know, I need to get someone who has a call-out fee and all those type of things.
Yep.
So those are the things that we need to take into consideration. Like I said, the older the property is, the more trouble is going to give you. So if that advantage, which is older properties grow in value because of the, you know, the surrounding, you know, it's developed, right?
Exactly.
Newer houses, don't have high maintenance costs because they are new, but older houses grow in value, high maintenance costs. So that's a trade-off that you actually need to make when you're actually looking at buying a property.
And that's the thing, as you say, you need to be aware of these things. And if you do purchase a slightly older property or even a newer one, make sure that it's according to your budget and the expectations of just when things might need a replacement here, fixing there, oiling here, and just to make sure that those are elements that do align with your pocket. And budget accordingly. Just because the bond repayment might match what you're able to afford right now, actually just try to make sure that you incorporate additional costs, even the ones that you don't foresee in the short to medium term, just to make sure that you have a necessary buffer in place. But Andile, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
I hope this was valuable to the listeners. They can follow my podcast. It's on Spotify, Property Revolution with Andile Fulani. And we are launching a free property investment course next
month. Look at you. Hey?
So they need to check out the space, man. Things are happening, man. Knowledge is free, dude. Like, shalelene.
Exactly. Knowledge is free. So make sure that you get the information out there. But Andile, thank you so much for your time. So I really appreciate your feedback. And even Uwuz Magetala on air clearly shows that you're one of those South Africans who's quite clear on the opportunities that they take advantage of, as we should, right? Because that's the only way we're going to grow. That was Andile Fulani. He's the CEO of Finlight and the podcast host of Property Revolution on our It's My House feature this evening.
It's My House!
It's My House on Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.